We continue to listen in the gospel about Jesus preaching on the bread of life. The whole of chapter 6 of the Gospel of John is great discourse, the great teaching of Jesus about the bread of life or the Eucharist. In every, it goes developing in within the chapter, the teaching of Jesus, and we are seeing each Sunday one of those teachings. We know that 2 weeks ago we celebrated Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fish and feeding more than 5,000 people. They're all amazed. Then last Sunday we saw that then after that Jesus, he went by himself to pray and cross to the other side of the lake, and there he found the multitude waiting for him, and he starts questioning them in his teaching. Are you following me because you have seen the signs? Are you following me because you have received bread and eaten? And he starts saying, there is a food that you should indeed long for, that is more essential, more necessary in your life. And he starts talking the bread, and they ask, Lord, we want that food. And Jesus says, I am the bread who came down from heaven. And from there is where we begin today, when those who heard him said, you did not come from heaven. We know you. You know, he's not far from Nazareth, where he grew up. Nazareth is in Galilee, is not on the shore of the lake, the Sea of Galilee, but it's not far, too much far from that. So they knew, said, we know you. You did not come from heaven. What are you talking about? They had a hard time understanding Jesus' message. And it's very difficult to understand the message because they had their own way of understanding and seeing things. And they had their ways of understanding God. And in their mind, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, he would come, perhaps as a hero or coming from the clouds, and that was their mind. They could not understand or say, no, it cannot be one who grew up, in our midst. It cannot be that. Yet Jesus continues. And little by little, his audience will be getting smaller and smaller. Because some said, we're not seeing any miracle anymore, any sign. Well, we're not getting bread anymore. He's just teaching us, and he's teaching I don't know if I want that. Because he starts to get deeper, and today what he said, I am the bread who came down from heaven. Whoever eats that bread will have life eternal. But he says, whoever eats my flesh, is there a way we finish today? That's the new thing that Jesus is adding. He's not only the bread who came down from heaven, but he say, whoever eats my flesh and drink my blood. That brings us to the Last Supper, when Jesus said, they took the body, the bread, and said, this is my body. He took the wine and said, this is my blood, shed for you and for all, for many, and do this in memory of me. So they could not understand. But the one thing they knew, they were searching, and they needed that food. Now I want to say a word, because the first reading that we are having in our Mass is connected directly with the Gospel. And today we heard a story about Elijah, the prophet. Elijah was one of the great prophets in Israel. He didn't write anything. His story is found in the Book of Kings. But he is still remembered as one of the great prophets of Israel. Lived centuries before Jesus was born. Lived in a time when a prophet should indeed, that was the reason of having prophets in Israel. He was the word, the message from God. That was how God's message would be delivered. God would choose among the people those prophets. And they would go and tell the people, especially two things they had to preach. to preach hope in a time when the people where they were challenged, when you know they were losing war, they were in exile, they were conquered other peoples. The prophet was the one to say, stay faithful. The Lord will never depart from you. The Lord will open the way back to Jerusalem. And the other thing that the prophet should say is to warn the people and the king that they had sometimes strayed away. They were away from God's commandments. And that was what was happening in Elijah's time. The king did not become so famous. The king's wife became very famous, Jezebel. Jezebel is a name that everybody can remind, because she was not a Hebrew, she was not Jewish, and she was the one that was guiding the king out, building altars to the Canaanite idols and forgetting about that the king should be the one to guarantee that people would worship the only one God. They would not follow the idols. And Elijah was the one who was chosen by God to go and preach, risking his life. Now we heard today that he walked and went through the desert and was desolate. Today's words would say he was depressed. He saw no meaning for life. He even begged, Lord, take my life. There's no reason of continuing living. And just for us to understand, what happened before that was something very, very important. It was then when the prophet Elijah, he was challenged by the kings and the queens' prophets. There are two kinds of prophets. Those who are chosen by God and those who are prophets for payment. Now the king would call and hire prophets and would pay them. The prophet, for obvious reasons, had to say only what the king, in this case the queen, wanted to hear. If you say something different, you say, king, you are not doing God's work and guiding the people, they could lose their tongue, their head, their life, so they would guarantee that they would get their pay for that. Elijah was not the kind of prophet. He was a prophet of God, a true prophet, not a false one. He was not delivering fake news. No, he had to give the real news, the message from God. That's what he was called to do. And they had, a confrontation with the prophets of the king, and Elijah was the victorious one. But after that, he thought, now they will listen to me. On the contrary, Jezebel wanted to kill him, so he had to run away for his life. And there where we find him in today's reading, desolate, nothing, and having nothing more arisen, not even to leave. And God sent an angel to bring him food, bread and water. He was there in the shade of a shrub. I think this represents, just bringing to us, what that story, it's a long story and a beautiful one, because it goes, ended up in all the way in the desert, and God reveals again himself to Elijah. But for us, what is important? I think is the strength that God is willing to provide to Elijah. Here he is, listening to God's call. He goes, God's going, go talk to the king, talk to the queen, and they do not listen. They want to kill him. And they say, what is this? This is not worthy. It's like when we are called to do good things in life. And I believe we try to do good things. And then it seems that we get nowhere with those good things. On the contrary, some people misunderstand us, and then we might lose friendship, and things seems not to go as we plan and said. And then we look at other people, they don't do good things. And they seem to prosper in so many ways in life. Well, the Word of God is telling us today that don't give up. God will never give up on us. Elijah had basically given up on God. He said, I'm going to go away. I want to hide away and not live my life according to what God is calling me. It's much more simpler. It's much more, comfortable. Just live my life. Forget about me, God. Yet, God had a plan. And God would grant the strength, wisdom that Elijah needed. I think that's the strength. When we call, that bread and that water represents more than the food that his body needed to continue working. For us, today we come here, I believe, because we are also, hungry and thirst to meet with the Lord. And that's the same strength that God wants to give us, to say that goodness is still worthy fighting for. That the good things in life, even though there are moments that it seems that will take us nowhere, that's the way. Because it's going to bring us something that is priceless. Will bring us peace of mind, serenity, the happiness that comes from within. You know, because in the end, it's not what we accumulate. It's not what we build. You know, we are sojourners. We are pilgrims in this life. I was listening the other day to a song that there was a verse. It was in Spanish, so I don't know if I will be able to translate that. But it was telling about, you know, in our lives, how we keep on moving from one place to another, and in so many situations, so many occasions, that it says we don't have possessions in life. We have like luggages that we carry with us, because that's who we are. And on our journey, we have to understand, especially our journey of faith, that God will always be there with the bread of life, with the drink that we need to refresh, to start anew when it is necessary, to really believe in the goodness of life. In many situations, we could be on the verge of giving up. Said, oh, there is no more. So what can I do? Well, we should not ask what can I do, because we are limited. And there will be a moment in situations that we can do basically nothing. But then we can ask what God can do. How can I allow God to take, you know, the driver's seat? Sometimes it's not easy, because we want to control. Elijah could not control his situation anymore. And he said, Lord, take my life. But God had other plans. He said, no, you're giving up too easily. Keep on going. Keep on walking. You're not alone. You have the food. You have the drink that will strengthen your journey step by step. May our meeting here, I don't think we come here as desperate as Elijah was, but may this be a moment of refreshment. May this be a moment of nourishment, so that we continue our journey, not as when he got here, but stronger, wiser, and, you know, maybe a bit lighter, traveling light in life, in the sense of saying, I don't have to carry a burden myself. The Lord is there, and the Lord is willing to help me. He is the bread that came down from heaven, the food we need for the journey.